speaker up this morning is a personal friend. Humble individual. One heck of a nice guy. He just happens to be a Cajun from Louisiana. And I'm a Crimson Tide from Alabama. But he's a good man. Loves the Lord with all his heart. Come on up, Don. He's going to spend a few minutes with you in the scriptures and with himself.
Good morning. I'd just like to say, introduce myself. I am Donald Brett from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, around that area. It's so wonderful to be here and have this opportunity. It's gracious of Brian to ask me and allow me to come here and to talk about something that's special to me and has been special to me for 26 years. Since the day it happened, my life has never been the same. I don't see where it'll ever be the same again. Because what I have, the Lord did for me. The moment that I came to the place where I was able to see the great need that I had. That's the most difficult part of this whole process. I got saved back in 1984. There's no doubt about it. I remember the day, not the day specifically, but the time, the month. But the events leading up to that were unbelievable. Most of y'all might know my brother, Wayne. Well, Wayne got saved before I did. So Wayne brings the gospel to the house, to say the least. And so from that point on, being from Louisiana, being born in Annapolis, Louisiana, they say if you were born Catholic, you died Catholic. Now, did you get what I just said? Born Catholic. I wasn't born Catholic. When me and my ex-wife finally separated, she kept telling me, these kids were born Catholic, they're going to stay Catholic. I don't care what garbage you bring to this house. And I went and looked, and she was wrong. They were both born male. I knew right away they had a chance. Because if they had been born Catholic, I mean, where do you do that? White Catholic born. But Wayne came around, and he, of course, this testimony, everybody probably shares the same thing. You get saved, and my gosh, how could this have been hid from me all my life? 33 years old, wandering around in darkness, and I try to think back, when did I ever hear the word saved? When did I ever hear the word that I could be saved? Are you saved? No one ever asked me that question. I had no idea. So Wayne comes to the house, and here he comes. You know what he wants, because he's saved, and he wants to tell somebody. And of course, praise God, he chose me. And so he would come to the house, but I had no need. I mean, I didn't know what he was talking about. Being raised Catholic, I can honestly say I knew nothing about the Word of God. I knew it was stored in what my mama called a cedar roll. It was huge, and it was in a red box, and it was barely ever broken out. So special occasions when, hey, I want to look at the pictures of the Pope. So they were there, that's all you seen. But anyway, so I knew nothing about the Bible. So Wayne would come and he would talk. And I remember, this is something new. This is something different. But I don't know how to receive it. How do you receive it? The Lord has to prepare the way. He has to prepare your heart. And so he would come, him and Lisa, and they would sit, and he would try to share it to me, and I was picking up things. I mean, the scripture says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. No matter how little you receive, something's going in, and eventually something's coming out. Whether it's just, I don't want it, or finally you surrender. So he came one night, I remember, and he had a Bible, and he presented it to me. And on the front of that Bible, it said, my name and my ex-wife's name. And she stood up, and she said, if you ever spend more time reading that Bible, more or less insinuating like my brother, Bible woman, I will kick you and that Bible out. And I'm like, well, that's pretty serious stuff, dog. I don't know if I like all that. But anyway, as things progressed, we separated. And so I'm stuck there by myself. Kids are gone, wife is gone, and I don't know how you get to a place where you just don't know. And I was lost, and I didn't know. And as God is my witness, I decided, well, I needed help. I needed to talk to somebody. I didn't call Wayne. I called the priest. I mean, that's all I knew. I was already born and raised Catholic. I called the priest, and he said, look, that sounds pretty serious. Why don't you call back Monday? He said, I'm visiting. And we was in the middle of a card game with three other nuns. Wow. And I swear, Wayne knocked on the door. And he said, I don't know what the heck's going on here. But have yourself ready. You're going to church. And I wasn't ready to argue. And so I started going to church. But, we put ourselves through a lot of misery. We suffer a lot because of the fact that we don't have a Savior. And so I went to church, and everybody there looked just like y'all, righteous as all get out. Holy and endowed, Bible very included. I didn't fit in. I mean, I didn't know how to fit in. But I figured, it'd be a good time, good opportunity to do something. Because I wanted to get closer to God. So I decided I would clean up this flesh. Well, let me tell you, that almost killed me. The night that I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, I came home after being, you used to talk about near-death experiences. I don't know, I'm probably too drunk to see, but I know it was close. And I just told the Lord, I don't know, I have no answer. All I know is that I hear that you will save me. And I asked him to save me. And I got up. And it was different. It was different. I think I know the Lord answered my prayer that night.
Amen.
And so the next day, Wayne shows up. And instead of, I'm waiting for him, I'm ready, but it's all now. And so I remember Obed, went to Obed's church. Praise God for Obed.
Amen.
And Obed would give an invitation not to walk the aisle, not to do anything, but if someone had a comment to make or they had a testimony to share. And when he started talking, I kind of knew where he was going. and I almost knocked him over. Because I had a testimony. I had something I'd never had before in my whole entire life. And it was unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. I felt like I've never felt before. And so, you know, like I said, the same thing that Wayne went through, Donald went through, everybody in here is going through it. Everybody wants to hear this. I know they do, because I'm so excited they want to hear it. Well, I come to find out they really didn't want to hear it. But, Paul says to teach faithful men so that they might teach others. And so here it is, just get saved, trying to witness, trying to share the gospel, trying to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And lo and behold, here comes, the church is called the Voice of Pentecost. It's probably about 4 or 5 pounds this big and filled the max every Sunday. Well, the two people that showed up were the pastor and the sister pastor. And I guess they'd overheard me talking about salvation and that I was saved. And so what they did is they went to Galatians. They went to Galatians and they tried to pull this on me. It probably normally it works. Because majority of people wouldn't know any difference anyway. And he says Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: idolatry, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, envy. And Paul goes through the whole list. And he says, I've told you, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And they of Christ have crucified the flesh. And that's not the verse I'm looking for. But the idea is, it's in Ephesians. He says, you will once one of these. Once one of these. Not anymore. Amen. So I called Wayne, like, dude, this ain't matching up. And so I had someone to go to that could get me back on the path and keep me straight while I was trying to get all this worked out in my mind. Because salvation is just the beginning. So Paul says, it's God's will that all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. Well, the majority of people that are saved in churches today stop right there. And they never come into the knowledge of the truth. Turn with me in 2 Timothy. I'm not gonna smile. I see you coming, boy. He says, Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. He says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So in two verses, Paul asks us to do two things. First, he asks us to consider, and then he asks us to remember. And if a person would just take and consider, what Paul says in 13 verse 13 epistle, he says he's an apostle to the Gentiles. Then when it comes down to being able to understand the gospel in this book, it's not confusing anymore. I told Susan last night after Lynn finished, I was just going to stand up here and go, would you please turn to the cover? I don't know if it's a complete verse, but mine says Holy Bible. That's all we got left. But I enjoyed that, bro. That was good. He was all over me. But that's the way it works, because there's only so many places you can go in this Bible and show people the truth.
Amen.
And so we're going to step on the same verse, you know, but that's okay, because I believe it takes hearing it more than once.
Amen.
And Paul says, consider. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, of course, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The biggest failure in the churches today, like I said, is being stopped when it comes down to the knowledge of truth. And then when it comes down to rightly dividing the word, they think that someone put the page in the middle of the book for them between Matthew and Malachi. But that's not so. That's not so. Without the death of a test taker, there is no testament. And so Paul, when Paul gets saved on the road of Damascus, he writes these 13 books. I want to look at what Paul says in chapter 2, verse 19, says right there. Paul says, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now Paul, in every one of his epistles, was dealing with some kind of issue. Someone was coming behind him and doing exactly what those two fellows did to me. They were trying to cause me to stumble. They were trying to take away the peace that I had, the joy that I had, the hope that I had, the eternal security I had. They would took that away in a second. I'd be over there joining the pews, running up and down, playing, ain't no telling what. But anyway, praise God that there were faithful men. Just like there's faithful men in this room. I've been in this thing, like I said, almost 28 years, and I see the same faces, the same preachers. And people, I had a fellow ask me the other day, after I've tried to witness to this man over and over and over again, giving him the gospel, giving him the gospel. And he said, where are you going to church? Grace, Bible, Believers, Fellowship, Church. Oh, where are you going to church? And he done went through a whole line of because he still will not believe the truth of the gospel. He still will not receive the fact that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I was chief. And that if he had just simply put his trust in the finished work of Calvary, and the fact that Jesus Christ paid for all of his sins, that his precious blood covered those sins, that sin is not an issue between God and man, that the man Christ Jesus took care of all of that for him. But no. He thinks there's something he has to do. And so he goes from church to church to church, trying to look for a new program. Thank God for the stability that we have. And in other words, the stand that we take for the Word of God, and we don't bend. We're unmovable. And we just keep it. It's a fight. It's a fight. Paul said he fought the good fight. When you take up this book and you take up this gospel and you take it to a lost and dying world that hates the book and hates the preacher, hates the messenger, and hates the Savior, it's a fight.
Amen.
It's a fight. I was telling somebody the other day, we get discouraged. I mean, this ain't the voice of the Pentecost, I can tell you. That thing would be packed. But anyway, the red tablecloths all in the back, and they're empty. And I get the church. People get discouraged. And so instead of understanding that the fight is real. Paul says, for this cause, he says, in Ephesians chapter 3, he says, for this cause. And I remember Mark did a sermon, and I praise God for Brother Mark. He's been there faithful and true, and that has never wavered one bit off of the truth of this book. But David asked, is there not a cause? And he went in and took care of the situation because he knew God Almighty was behind him the whole way. God fought the battle. Paul says, for this cause, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, for this cause I call the presence of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word. That word is very interesting. But what Paul is trying to imply, that he just passed the baton. You, word, fall, word. That's what he's trying to say. That's what he's implying. The day I got saved, the day I received Jesus Christ, I also received a lot more than that. I received a ministry. Because without that love that Jesus Christ has for man, without that love that Paul had for man, without that love that my brother had for me, the thing stops. This is all about love. We got relatives, friends, relatives, people we meet all the time. And like Gilbert was saying, I ain't trying to sit up here and blow no horn and make you think I'm somebody, and I ain't nobody. But I know that they need to hear it. And I know God sent me to do it. Now, whether I do it faithfully, I can't say that. Because this world is crazy. It has you absolutely running in circles, like a dog chasing his tail. You don't ever catch it. And at the same time, there's a cause. Paul says for this cause. And he says in verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now to the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. So, it's our responsibility to try to make all men see what the fellowship of this mystery is. God has provided everything. Everything that we need. He didn't leave one thing out. He provided a Savior.
Amen.
Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're the temple of God, and we're indwelt and led by the Holy Spirit. I ask myself, what more could God have done? There's nothing more God has done. All I have to do, all we have to do, need to do, is believe this book. This book has been working for over 2,000 years. I want to take one minute to say, I want to thank my wife.
Amen.
I know God sent me that woman. I was doing everything I could, not everything I could, but with the Lord's help, of course. And I was witnessing to people. And that poor woman was in the same place I was at, the same place where thousands of others are. She was reading and looking and searching in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And basically what she had done, she had surrendered it all. She had totally given up because you got gotta do the things that God required for those people, you know, full books. It can't be done. If a man, and I say this all the time, if a man will look in the mirror and be honest with himself, and then read Matthew, Mark, and John, he can't say he can do any of that.
Amen.
Without just being an absolute bald-faced liar. Mm-hmm. And that's what we got going on today. Amen. We got preachers that have no regard for the Word of God. And so they take it. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy. We faint not. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So, we don't take the word of God lightly. We don't handle it deceitfully. We try to present this thing in all honesty and truth, where anybody in a lost condition can see the truth and be saved. That's our ministry. But he says in verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's an amazing passage. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that is excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Power of God. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Like I said, God has done everything. All we have to do is believe this book, open our mouth, and share the gospel, share the testimony that we have. You know, you might say, well, I don't know this book when they join the club. But I have as a testimony that I can stand toe-to-toe with anybody and defend by the authority of God's word. God said in the day that I believe that he saved me, that he sealed me, and that I'm kept until that day. The Lord knows those that are his. Here I am.
Amen.
And so there's no doubt in my mind when the Lord comes back, he's coming back to take me out of here. That's it, me?
I'm going back.
Okay. Praise God. Praise God. Because there's no reason for anybody to leave from this conference. This thing just begun. We got another the whole day tomorrow, because the gospel is going to be preached over and over again. And all you have to do, like Paul said, is put your trust in the finished work of Calvary. Believe that Jesus Christ did what he did, that he shed his blood, that God accepted that blood. In Romans chapter 4, he said he was a propitiation for our sins. God sent his son to go between God and man and to be an acceptable sacrifice unto God. Once God had an acceptable sacrifice, then there was no more enmity between God and man. God could take this message and he could send out ambassadors, servants, ministers, and we could preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we could tell any man, anywhere, any place, that they don't have to do anything, but just simply trust God, trust Jesus Christ, trust in the fact that he paid the price. You're bought with a price. It was his blood. It was his precious blood. And then it's done. It's over. It's finished. And there's no way, no wise, that anything will ever separate you from the love of Christ. Wow. Wow. And I should have been able to sleep last night. I don't know. That didn't happen. Anyway, oh, Lord. It took me to 4 o'clock this morning trying to figure out how that ambulance went and go, woo! Peace and quiet. Whoa! I had a little flashlight blinding the side in the dark trying to figure this thing out. Paul says, I have a dear friend that after I got saved, I went and witnessed to her and told her what had happened. And she said, I believe that. I got saved when I was 16. Thank you. I've been holding for 18 years. Never mentioned it. I didn't have a clue. She never told me anything about salvation. But anyway, a while back, she started, we ran into each other, Susan did, and she started coming to church. And she really liked that little church. Everybody does. They like that little church. But the only thing she couldn't handle was the truth of the Word of God. Because we were taking our Jesus away, is what she said. Because in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's by Jesus, 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 the Son of God. But when you get to Paul, Paul says, I, Paul, the minister, I, Paul, the apostle, I, Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. And so all they can hear is that we're lifting up Paul. But we're not lifting up Paul. Jesus Christ lifted up Paul. Amen. Paul was a chosen vessel. He was anointed of God. He was called of God. And so all we do is we take what Paul said, and we take heed. He says, she came to me, and chapter 1, verse 10. And she brought this verse, and it says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The verse she had somehow managed to leave out the fact that I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's not speaking for himself. He's speaking out of leadership, guidance of the Holy Spirit. And so anyway, it's a horrible mess out there. It's an unbelievable mess. And it's all because of the fact that people will not separate. Brother Lynn brought up last night, Peter had a gospel, Paul had a gospel. Peter had a foundation, Paul had a foundation. Peter's foundation was built upon a rock, Jesus Christ. Paul's foundation, he says, no other foundation laid except Jesus Christ. You see what I'm talking about? Everything sounds the same. Everything sounds the same. Everything sounds the same. Because there's no one that takes this Bible and takes the time to separate it, divide it out, and to see what Paul's talking about. It's totally, totally different. Jesus Christ walked upon the face of the earth, and he ministered to 12 men for 3.5 years, 12 apostles. He came into his own, and his own received him not. They took him and they had him crucified. We get the book, Acts 2:38, and Peter is preaching. And he's telling these people, you have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, you don't want nobody to tell you that. You know, this was not a good thing. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? And he told them, repent. Change your mind that you just had the Lord of glory crucified, the Son of God, but God raised him up. Paul comes along when he says here in 1 Corinthians, verse 17, 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The power of God. It took God's exceeding greatness of his power to raise his son from the grave. And he took that power and he placed it in the gospel. And when the day comes, if you would just trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, when the day comes, he will take you up. He'll take us up. So I'd ask right now, if there's anyone in here, like I said, pray tell, I can't tell. Y'all all look saved. But I know darn well the room this size, there's somebody playing the same game I was playing. They're sitting there, they're nervous, they don't know what the heck going on. All they know is that they really don't want to be here, so I'm talking. But I would ask you to just take the time, like Paul says, consider. Consider what I say, and the Lord gives you understanding in all things, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And if you just ask him right now, believing that he will, believing that he came, he died, he was buried, he rose again the third day for your justification, he'll save you on the spot. And when he comes back, we will all, so it will be with the Lord. Thank you.
Amen.